kids that just figured out who the fuck MF Doom is.
But I had sold my ticket because I was in New York. I had like bought the ticket like way in advance, like right when the tickets dropped.
Yeah.
Right? And I was just like, I didn't even look at the date. I just bought it. I was just like, I'm just going to buy it. And like in September when, thank you, when I got back from tour with Omar, I like just like impulsively just bought tickets to New York to go see my girlfriend because that's where she lives.
Yeah, that's right. You guys do like a long distance
thing. Yeah, dude, it's coming up on 3 years now.
Shit. Damn, and y'all have been long distance the whole time.
Yeah.
Wait, how'd y'all meet?
We met in Berkeley. Like we played a show in Berkeley,
like NorCal.
NorCal, cool. And she was there to see No Vacation.
Oh, tight!
And we played No Vacation, so she ended up staying. And then like after we got done playing, she just like came up to me and started talking to me and shit. Like started
chatting you up,
spitting her game.
She spitting game.
She was goofy as fuck, dude. Just like this is like the goofiest person I've ever talked to.
You guys are a very beautiful couple.
Yeah, you're both a good looking people.
Yeah,
thank you
for sure.
And she wasn't a fan like of the music. She was a fan of No Vacation. She didn't even know who like Omar's music.
When she came up to you, like was she just like did she had seen you play already?
Yeah. I guess she like just like stuck around just to watch like the live music going on anyways. So after that is when she came up to me and just started talking to me.
That's
and then
sick.
She took a picture of me and then like ended up like DMing it to me like 3 days later. It was like a film photo. I was like, damn, you got that developed fast as fuck. Like most people like procrastinate on getting their film developed unless they're like
100%.
In the industry, like need to flip a photo and get their bread real quick.
I'm
always really excited to develop film pictures because I want to see what they look like.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
I have a whole point and shoot. What are those called?
The little disposable.
Yeah, I have a whole roll of disposable from like the whole summer and like since like February that I haven't developed.
Damn,
I know.
I just put that on the writer for like everything that I do now. Like whenever I'm working with like either like myself or like with other artists that I get like hired for, like I tell them to put them the writer. Like they're like, "What do you want on the writer?" I'm like. For me, like put disposable camera.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Bro, people will get like, you can put anything on your rider, they will get it for
it's
you.
True.
Yeah, they would. You know what I
know a buddy of mine, Matt from the Will Turn, said that his thing would always be just plain white t-shirts. And so he would never have to do laundry.
Yeah.
So he would just get like Hanes t-shirts. It's like
the cheat code. Weird. I'm a Fruit of the Loom guy myself.
Are you?
That's a good brand. Yeah.
They're pretty
solid.
Fruit of the Loom and Pro Club.
Pro Club is the OG,
Are those expensive?
They've gone up.
Yeah.
They've definitely gone up.
Oh, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Toasting on the bubbly.
Yeah, episode 24.
Yes, with Liano.
The Kobe episode.
Do you want to go by Liano or
sure, yeah.
Or Venus Hides?
Frontman of Venus Hides. Yeah. Is that like a band or is that your...
That's my assembled band.
Okay.
So, I mean, with Liano, like,
that's not bad.
It was just, no, it's really good, actually.
Yeah.
That was just like a nickname, like, all my homies, like, in high school were just calling me, like, and I just kind of, like, ran with it, like, unintentionally, like, because it was just, like, my social media handles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just never changed it. And I never kind of, like, sat myself down to come up with a moniker until I came up with Venus Hides.
Yeah.
And then, like, I thought I could use that moniker for like just like doing everything what I was doing independently, but like then again I was also kind of like in a very transitionary period of like making music for myself that like I wanted to assemble a band. Like I already had like band written music like written and that I wanted to assemble. So
you guys started in like 2017, 2018?
No, we started right when COVID hit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So like that, like
did you have that name for a while, Venus Hides?
Yeah, I did. Like I had it as
DJing
my was DJing with it, and I was like making like electronic with it. But then like I was trying to like steer it away, like ever so slightly.
Yeah,
and that's why I just ended up making like my own personal account where like all that could be followed. I mean, I still go through it with like my social media anxieties. I mean, who doesn't? Mm-hmm. But it just sucks having to like just like really be dedicated to like an identity.
Yeah.
And like it's just vulnerable, like promoting yourself.
Yeah.
It feels gross sometimes.
It just does. It's just like, ew, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But like everyone does it.
Yeah, you kind of have to at this
everyone
point.
Everyone does it. Even the people who like you've like just they've just gone out and out of their way to just like go above and beyond to like promote themselves. Like they've seen the results and like we're seeing the results like through them.
Yeah.
It's
and
weird.
It's like almost hard to just kind of like hop on that train because it's just like, then it wouldn't just feel original to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the rub. But it's weird because I feel that I feel the same way about just self-promotion and stuff like that. About like, oh, this feels kind of gross. But then again, like if like on the reverse, like I don't feel gross about like homies that are doing that. Like I don't feel like, sometimes I guess it can be gross, but like usually when I have homies that are just like boosting themselves, I don't know. It's like they're just doing
the thing. They're doing their thing.
Yeah. I think it's something that like we as artists like should work on too. You know what I mean? Kind of like letting that ego go and like really trying to like put ourselves in that spotlight and allow ourselves to be in that spotlight and be uncomfortable, be comfortable being uncomfortable in it almost, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like I'm starting to get a little better at it because like now that I have this band, like we assembled right when COVID hit and, you know, I was supposed to like keep on touring with Kuko, but it was a perfect opportunity for me to like
finally get to these ideas. Oh yeah, you guys had a huge tour planned.
Yeah, so it was finally like my time to like, oh, finally, like now I get a big break. Like, and I don't even know how long this is gonna last, but like, I told myself like, this can last forever. Like, it's gonna last forever. Never mind. This can last forever. No, like this can last as long as it needs to. Like, I have all the time to like write an album. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like everyone was like getting on EDD. And it was kind of comfortable, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just like we'd go to Abner's house and we recorded the whole album in his garage, which was kind of like shoulder tight, like garage with just like a drum set, guitars, and like, you know, miking up the guitar amps. And then, and just like some of the songs we had, I would say like I had pre-written like maybe like two or three songs like before getting into it, but that doesn't shy away from the fact that like all the other songs that were written and are on the album were written as a band. Like we wrote it like jamming out. Like we didn't sit down and try to like produce a song like right off the bat. Like it was just kind of like these parts.
Very organic.
Very organic that just kind of like came together and just like blended together really nice. And I think that's the real beauty of like monikers that are just like a band and not just a single person.
Yeah.
Because the pressure just falls on like that single person, like having written all that parts and then also being like on the hired side, like you're just kind of like playing what's written, which is a bag. It's fine. Like it's fine, but it's just like there's also like a very deep development that goes into like a formation of a band and
for
like
sure.
Everyone playing their parts and everyone's kind of like parts just melting together in like harmony, you know?
Yeah.
There's a beauty in that too.
Definitely, yeah.
And you know, you don't really see that too much these days. Up until this point, I feel like bands are starting to come back
a little. Yeah. So aside from the two songs, most of the songs on that record, it's like Something in Bloom, right?
Yeah, See You in Bloom.
See You in Bloom.
That was one of the three that I had already written.
Okay.
Yeah, Feather, See You in Bloom, and Limbo, the last song. I had already written those.
Everything, I really like Play-Doh too. I was listening to some of it today.
Play-Doh was actually written by my uncles. So my uncles wrote two of them. Play-Doh has been a song since I was like 17.
Okay.
I'm 26 now. So it's like a 10-year-old song. Mm-hmm. But it was like, that was a new song with my uncle's band that they had like way back when they're like my age.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their 30s now. Mm-hmm. And I knew that song always had like, I loved it. Like
something
I knew,
to it.
Like, something to it. You know what I mean? Life. And I remember the parts, the bass parts. I remember like how it went. I remember how it was played. Like every little detail, like I remember it.
By memory?
By memory.
That's crazy.
Even though like I only heard it like maybe once or twice. Or
that's crazy. Just
a handful of times when like I was a teenager and they played it and I went to go see
them. They would play it for you?
Yeah,
but they hadn't recorded it?
No, they hadn't.
How weird.
So it was my idea that I recorded it. I was just like,
oh, that's sick.
Exactly how it sounds on the record like is I think it's like the best interpretation of like that song.
It came out really well.
And what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, that song I think has like a very special needs to it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's really cool.
That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so everything with that has just been kind of like taking on a course of its own, like its own pace. Like I'm not in a rush. Yeah. I'm not, but I also don't want to like fall behind. You know what I mean?
Are you guys are you guys like continuing to work on music or like do shows or whatnot? Or
definitely, yeah. We have these two new songs that we're incorporating into our new live set. Yeah. One of them I wrote and then one of them my uncles wrote.
Cool.
And it's fun to kind of like share that balance and that responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not so much like a dire responsibility so much as just kind of like someone's just like, hey, I came up with this idea. Like, and then everyone is just kind of like an instrument to that idea.
Mm-hmm. They don't play with you guys?
What do you mean?
Your uncles?
Everyone does, yeah.
Oh, your uncles are in the band?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, for sure.
Okay, I was gonna ask because the picture of you guys on Spotify, it's like the two dudes in the background, right? Are they brothers?
They're twins, yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say, dude, these guys are like, look, identical almost.
Those are my uncles. Yeah, those are my uncles. And then you have Abner there.
That's rad. Yeah, yeah, and Abner. Shout out Abner. I missed you.
Yeah, man.
Love cast.
Yeah. Fucking love that guy. Maybe the most positive person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Just such a fucking nice guy.
Yeah, dude.
So sick.
That dude's like, everyone needs an Abner in their life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude.
So we're talking about movies a little bit. We know you like Tombstone, but yeah, what are some other movies that like you're like high on your list that you like really dig?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what's very at the bottom of my list right now.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Is that's Everything, Everywhere, All at Once at the same time. Like... I'm gonna just come off the bat and say,
really?
That is the bottom.
All over the place.
Bro, I didn't like all over the place.
You didn't get it?
I don't think I did get it.
Sometimes that happens.
I think it needs another, because like when I watched it the first time, I thought it was like good filmmaking, but it was a little hard to like latch onto the story. I feel like that's a movie that you got to watch like more than one time.
Yeah.
To, like,
people tell me they cried to it. I was just like,
I didn't get that.
I know a lot of, like mothers and daughters related with that.
Yeah, yeah. And
so
That dynamic is to be appreciated.
Same thing with like Lady Bird. Like I know a lot of like mothers and daughters that fucking love that movie, but I just like it's not something I can really relate to as much. So it didn't speak to me as much. But I also haven't seen it. So.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it either. My mom really liked Lady Bird, but...
Oh, I saw Lady Bird. I haven't seen everything all over the time.
Yeah.
Everything everywhere all at once. Yeah.
But top, I would definitely put Tombstone. At the top.
You're saying top three?
Yeah.
I fuck with that movie
wow, really hard.
That's crazy.
There's this soccer movie called Rudo y Cursi. It's with Diego Luna and Gael Bernard Garcia. It's about these two brothers that like they're in Mexico and they are just like both really good soccer players and they're like little Puebla. Mm-hmm. And the scout kind of like comes in like picks him up, like, but he picks up one brother first and then like kind of like leaves the other behind.
Yeah.
But then gives the other brother a shot. And so like now they're both playing for two really big Mexican teams. And it's just kind of like a little like scramble of just like comedy and drama and
is it a true story or
no? I don't think so.
Okay. Just like a good inspirational story.
It's just kind of like one of those inspirational stories.
That's cool.
It's cool. It's a good watch.
Is it based on a true story?
That's what I just
said. I don't think so, no.
Oh, is that what you just said? So, I'm sorry.
Right, I was okay, sorry.
I'm so sorry.
another one with the same actor, Gael. There's this movie I haven't seen in a while, and it's called The Science of Sleep.
Oh, and it's I've heard of that.
Partially in French.
Okay, yeah.
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 It's a cool movie. Yeah, yeah. I like the surrealism about it. The surrealism about it was kind
of
like...
What's it called again?
The Science of Sleep.
The Science of Sleep? Yeah. When did that come out?
I want to say like mid-2000s.
Okay.
Somewhere in the mid-2000s.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's kind of like a... like a surrealist kind of movie, like where this guy can't tell whether he's dreaming or like he's in a dream or he's like, or is he in reality?
Yeah.
And and then the whole movie is just kind of like him living like in both ends.
Reality is
but like,
of...
yeah, like reality and like in dream.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's kind of, the idea is for sure exhausting, but it's a cute little movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Number three, I would probably say
Tombstone.
You know what I fuck with, bro? X-Men 2 when they had Nightcrawler in it.
Bro
yes, bro.
That was hype. That was hype,
bro. The first scene was just him like beating everyone up in the White House.
Yeah.
That was fire, bro. Nightcrawler was my favorite.
Nightcrawler was crazy. That was a really cool character. Like, I really liked the way that they did that.
Yeah.
In the church and stuff like that.
Remember Nightcrawler, the movie, is also a good movie.
That's probably, that's up there. That's like top 20 for me.
Yeah, that's a great
movie. Is it about the X-Men or is it about
Nightcrawler, where he's like a news, he's like a journalist or something.
That dude's a savage, dude. Yeah, yeah. Savage movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I just saw Triangle of Sadness. Have you heard of that? No. It's in theaters.
I've heard of that. Is that new?
It's new. It's in theaters right now. Yeah, that's where I saw the preview to that Irish one you're talking about.
Oh, Banshees of Inisherin. That was a great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It kind of has like some themes. Like, have you ever seen the show White Lotus? Heard of it?
Oh, no. I was going to start it yesterday.
You should check it out. It's pretty good.
Cult?
No, it's about a hotel where these guests go to. And it's kind of like a little bit of like... just like these kind of like themes of like privilege versus like it's like these like privileged people are in this 5-star hotel, and it's kind of like their like dynamic with the staff and whatnot, and just like kind of how they talk about their lives. It's all about like relationships too. But it's really good. And this movie Triangle of Sadness reminded me of that in a way. It's about like these rich affluent people who are on this cruise, and the cruise gets like shipwrecked and they're stranded on an island with like nothing. And it kind of like goes from there. But there's details in between.
Yeah.
It was one of the best movies I've seen in a while.
It's a movie. It's a movie.
Well, The White Lotus is a show.
Yeah.
But this Triangle of Sadness is a movie. And it's good. It just kind of reminds me of...
Are they related?
No, not at all.
They get lost in the wild.
There's a White Lotus movie and then there's a White Lotus show.
No. This movie just reminded me of White Lotus, but they're not related at all.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Hopefully everyone's following along. I feel I'm like the kind of like tired where it's like you're like experiencing yourself from over your shoulder, like third person perspective in a video game.
That's kind of like me when I clock into work. Like I clock in and then I just leave my body.
I could see you working in a deli.
Yeah.
Like I could. Do you wear like, what do you got to wear? You wear an apron?
No.
It's just a black shirt with the logo on it. And I can wear like any kind of shoes.
Slicing meats.
Or pants. I don't do this meat slicing myself.
Yeah.
But I was just talking about this. I forgot to who. But basically what I do there is just kind of like a mixture of like customer service and just taking care of the store, like in terms of like upkeep, like stocking.
Oh, you got a fresh bottle of the rose.
Oh, yes.
Of course, bro. Of course.
Oh, yeah. Stocking. It's kind of like a pseudo grocery store. So like when you walk in, like if you've ever been to like a New York bodega.
Yeah, where they got like the deli shit, the deli part, and then the convenience store part of it.
Yeah. So keeping all that stock, like my thing is like the sodas, because we have like, we're one of those stores that have that like really cool variety of sodas.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that wonderful? Like when you walk into and they got like 5 or 6 different types of root beers.
My talk straight.
This is an Italian deli?
I just go straight to
the top. That's like very Italian for them.
They are very Italian, dude. Like the freaking owner, like I was working with him all day yesterday, like just like cleaning up the store, and he's got a hot temper. But when he doesn't have a hot temper, he's like a really funny, sweet guy, funny guy. Yeah. So it's basically like it's a family business that since 1952 in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah,
it's right there on the beach, like right off the strand. You get a lot of locals only kind of vibes there, as well as tourists and people who are just kind of like going up and down the strand. Nice. It's a very like quasi famous spot, like to the locals, like. Yeah. Every day is popping.
What's it called?
Mickey's Deli.
Mickey's. That's nice.
Yeah. I like that. So the owner, his name was Michelangelo. And 100%. This is an Italian family from Italy, an Italian town called Bari.
That's where my family's from.
It's from it's a fisherman town.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For real?
Yeah, for Bari, yeah.
That's so sick.
That's where my grandma's from.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
I gotta go to this place.
And it's so wonderfully ironic that like this fisherman family has a business on the beach.
Right. Well, I'm sure that wasn't on accident, right?
There's just kind of like a wonderful irony to it. But the food is fantastic, dude. Like, I like working there because they appreciate me as much as I appreciate them. Like, they tell me they like having me. They tell me, like, you know, good job. You know, they really just kind of like make it like easy going to just work there.
That's cool.
It's not a hard job.
That's cool.
You take the people's orders.
the sandwiches get made. So there's sandwiches, pastas, and pizzas.
Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it real simple, you know what I mean?
I would say like best thing out of all those selections, like pastas, the spicy rigatoni vodka. Super stellar.
Yeah.
Sandwich, it's a battle between the pastrami sandwich. Our pastrami sandwich
that's
is
what I would get.
Far out. Dude.
Yeah, that's what I would get, 100%.
And there's this one sandwich called the Italian beef, which is roast
dude.
Beef.
Yeah, dude.
We make our own roast beef. With 60%, 60% of everything there is homemade. So it's like our own roast beef, right?
We cook it to a really good rare, right? Like a roast beef should, right? You grill it. You put marinara sauce and red chili flakes on it and just kind of like toss it all together.
Yeah.
And it's just bread. It's like a straight up sandwich.
The bread there is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bread comes from a bakery, very famous, another like local famous bakery called Giuliano's in Gardena.
Damn.
And they're very, very known for like their torpedoes, their bread. And
So they source their bread like...
They source their bread from like the best place to get sourced from.
For sure.
Like, dead ass. Like the bread is amazing.
I gotta come to this place.
Yeah, dude. Like you guys come through, like I will hook you guys up fat.
I'm dead.
Yeah, if you guys like cannolis, we got cannolis.
Oh,
like,
dude.
Oh! Yeah.
Big cannoli guy. Yeah.
My first time eating a cannoli was semi-recently actually. Like probably within like maybe a year ago.
It throws you off. Like you're just like, what is this?
I did not know it was gonna happen. We were here. We were recording. We were tracking some guitar stuff. And I don't know why it came up, but I was like, you know, I've never had a cannoli to Wyatt. And Wyatt like paused what we were doing. He's like we're going to go get a cannoli right now.
I was like, get in the car.
we literally stopped recording and we drove like 30 minutes and got like cannoli.
Where'd you go?
It's called Pinocchio's. It's in Burbank. It's another place very similar to what you're saying. It's like there's a deli. They serve food and sandwiches and stuff. And then it's like a grocery deal where you can buy like food.
It's just there's like a restaurant.
You like a Lido's pizza over here? You ever had Lido's?
No, I don't think so.
Lido's is pretty good. It's like off there like on Sepulveda. Victory.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Lido's?
Yeah.
L-I-T-O-S?
L-I-D-O.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. It's just a big sign that says, it's like Lido's Pizza, but it's a restaurant.
Is it on Sepulveda?
It's on Victory. Yeah. It's on Victory. But it's like right there, like Victory and Sepulveda. Like Chase Bank is right there.
Let's pause this right now.
It's kind of like over there. No, yeah, no. No, my homie gets the cheese ravioli there. It's really good because it comes in an Alfredo sauce and it's just like really rich.
Yeah, I love that.
You guys
that.
Know anyone that calls it raviolis?
Like
you ever hear that? Like, let's get raviolis. that's a thing, dude. Doesn't that sound fucked up and weird?
Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
It's wrong. People don't say spaghettis.
Yeah, it's because it's fucking stupid, bro. Spaghetti. Should we get some spaghettis? Yeah. Like, dude, it's way too many of it to like that it needs
to
a plural. You know what I mean?
Rigatonis?
Yeah.
Mascacholis?
Listen, I don't know. If you're listening to this and you say that shit with the plural S, you gotta stop that right now.
Okay. okay. Let's settle this right here, right now.
I'm scared.
Okay.
Are you gonna say Jif Gif?
No. Okay. Caramel or caramel?
Oh, that's...
I say caramel. Caramel macchiato.
Caramel macchiato.
Yeah.
Matt?
Maddie. Sorry. Did not mean to blow up on you like that.
Sorry.
I think it's caramel. You know what I have a problem with is that when you make me think of that, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if I say eggs or eggs.
Eggs. Yo. What's that?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you say eggs or do you say eggs?
I say eggs.
Eggs.
That's pretty
egg or egg.
Making my face tickle.
That's kind of like I think a lot of it has to do with like
I think it's
where
caramel?
You come from. Because like
most definitely. Because my girlfriend is a caramel person, and she says that that's how her whole family says it.
Yeah, because some people say documentary. Have you ever heard that?
I've never heard that.
Really?
I've never heard that bullshit.
Oh, yeah, what I just heard on Andor. They're saying things like differently. They're like, I'm trying to tap into my brain right now. They said it like so different,
like aluminium.
British, British people say stuff weird too. Like,
yeah, they can't be taken seriously.
They say controversy kind of weird too.
Controversy.
Yeah, like something like that. It was exactly like that vibe. Yeah.
Was it English? Was it like kind of English going on?
Yeah, they don't
know what the fuck they're doing over there. That's the problem.
Do you cook at home?
I just cooked my first meal at my new place. So what I did was
had like an English muffin. Cut that in half.
I
grabbed some of the garlic butter that we have for my job, put it, like, took some of it home, right? Threw that on the pan, let that sear, get the kind of like waddled that with the English biscuit cut in half, just like kind of garlic bread.
Yeah.
Then I threw it in the toaster and toasted it.
Whoa.
And then
sick.
Threw some more garlic butter on that.
And that's it.
And then I cracked two eggs with some chives.
Let's go.
I like to crack them in bowls, stir it up, and then pour it in.
There we go.
And then kind of like bring it all to center.
A Western omelet.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like a soft scramble vibe.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like where they take like the chopsticks and they just drag it in.
Yeah.
And then kind of
twist it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you twist it?
I was using like a spatula, so I was just kind of like like a plus sign.
Yeah, right? I got it. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, sure. That with some chipotle aioli, right? I got a bottle of it, and then some salsa in there. So it was kind of like English biscuit with like chives, garlic, eggs, chipotle aioli, and like kind of like your average like. Salsa. You ever had the what's it called? It's not Tostitos, but it's like this other brand of salsa that also makes chips. They're called like Chica or something like that. I don't know. Just like the little mascot is like a chip, and it's like a yellowish bottle. It's like a vegan salsa.
I don't know if I'm hit.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know.
But it's basically kind of like a bottled salsa, right?
A chunky salsa.
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of like threw that in there.
Yeah, that's bomb. You got a little Eggs Benedict.
I love salsa and like breakfast food.
Dude, yes.
It's kind of out of like, left field, but like, it's like...
Huevos Ranchero. Like Huevos Ranchero.
Oh, so good.
So good, dude.
Chilaquiles is really fucking good,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah. It's hard. Like, it's kind of hard to make, though.
It definitely looks like a lot of steps.
Yeah.
I think there's like a shortcut that like my ancestors are just not telling me.
do your like parents cook?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. My mom is a great cook, man.
Yeah.
She, my girlfriend got my mom... Last Christmas, my girlfriend got my mom... a cookbook where she can like fill it out herself.
Ooh,
and it was meant for her.
Thoughtful.
It was meant for her to write all her
recipes.
Her recipes and give it to me.
Damn, that's dope. Can't fuck with
you
the
moms. You gotta wipe that up.
Yeah.
You gotta figure that out.
Yeah, no. Next year, I lucky I'm gonna propose to my girl.
Do we need to not put this in?
No, hell no. I told everybody.
You're hearing a lot.
I told her.
Damn, bro.
I told her. She was like, I'm like, next year, like when you move to LA, like you're gonna have a ring waiting for you.
She's moving?
Yeah, she's gonna move here.
Nice.
Because she's originally from San Francisco, like Bay Area. Yeah. Then she moved to New York to go to school
for
and work.
School. Yeah. And then is she still in school now? Or
December. She finishes in December. Oh, and then her lease ends the following August. So she still has like a year there.
Cool. So that's cool that she doesn't like, I feel like that's annoying to like spend 4 years in a city that you're going to college in and then just be like, peace. See you when I see you. As far as like leaving the city, it's kind of nice that she gets to be like a regular person.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like that's definitely been like a hefty conversation because I get kind of like insecure. I'm like, no, like you're going to want to stay. Like you're going to like it because all your friends are already there. All her friends from the Bay Area are literally there.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I'm just like, no, like I'm scared, you know? And she's like, honestly, she's like, I don't even know if I like it here.
It's a good sign.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because she's from the West Coast.
Yeah.
New York fucking.
She's like really working to live there. Like she doesn't really have like too much of a free time. Dude, she like pays so much to live in a shoebox. Like my room is the size of her apartment that she shares with another person.
And that's like what, like that's coming from like people that like live in LA. Paying LA rent.
Too. Yeah,
it's like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like even living in LA with how expensive it is here. It's like expensive.
Man. Yeah.
It's more for less in New York.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's like, maybe that's somewhat of a privilege that we can recognize too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, we live in a very beautiful part of the world. That's for sure.
Dude. Yeah, one of the most desirable, I'd say.
No, in the world. For real, man. And like the fact that we just get to like mingle and be so nimble around the city, like doing our thing, like playing music or going to go see live music, like because our friends are always so involved in it, to just like downright having a podcast in your house, like
it's so crazy.
It's so nice, dude.
It is really cool. A privilege to
like you get your living room down there and then you got your like 30 foot
hallway
down there.
that's the West Wing.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's the Wyatt West Wing.
Yeah, that's the West Wing.
Can I spark this?
Yeah, go for it. You have a lighter? Oh,
you're different.
There's a lighter. Okay, yeah, fuck it, bro. You're
where's our lighter?
Oh, Maddie, if you want to grab, there's a lighter on the couch right there.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But yeah, man. Anything? We haven't seen each other for a while, man. Like,
oh yeah, sure.
What's new with you guys,
dude? A lot is new. I'm moving out of here pretty soon. We have like a bunch of new songs that we're working on right now. We just put one out, so we're still trying to kind of like promoting the video and whatnot.
Yeah, go stream Sirens for the love of Christ.
Sirens. We've got some shows coming up that we're like have a hand in booking, and I think we're trying to do a little bit more of that, like in the coming year.
Have you guys been like kind of like working on setting up your own shows versus like waiting to get booked?
Exactly.
That's literally the wave, dude. That's literally how.
Yeah, we're trying to just get. Dude. We used to do so much of that. I think now I have it again. I've like have this newfound kind of desire to be back doing that. Like back when I was like a kid, you know, just like really gung ho about throwing shit.
Yeah.
But I think I got a little bit like discouraged when like we started growing older and like the shows were more 21 plus and it was like more about emails and rates and booking became a little bit more.
Dude, logistics, man, are crazy. Man.
It became a little bit more intense than just saying a DM like, "Hey, want to play this?" But I'm chilling, bro. Thank you. Like, hey, you want to play this backyard like in 2 weeks?
Yeah,
it's like now a more, you know, administrative. But
you can
I'm
ash on that too if you want.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're fucking we're back in it. We've got some crazy ass shows coming up. We're gonna announce something. I don't know. This probably won't be out yet. I don't think
we can announce the December one, December 9th.
Now or
at Silver Lake Lounge.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We just say we're playing a show December 9th with Young Men.
Ooh, nice.
And Roger Holloway and Pincy's gonna play too.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
DJ. Yeah,
sick.
Yeah.
No, yeah, he's playing a live set.
Oh, he is. Oh, yeah. Sick. Nice. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, because Roger's playing too, and I think Miguel. That's easy for Miguel to hop on. So.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be nice.
Yeah, man.
Looking forward to that. And then we got some other shit coming in February, but
yeah,
no sense in talking about that yet.
Yeah, it's so early.
But, yeah, man. It's I've really been enjoying playing like. Anything like with my band, like,
yeah,
it just feels like at least for me, like having like been on the road, like it there's just the beauty of just like being home and just being able to like do it and go home and like go to your own bed, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah, dude,
we haven't done too much touring, but it's nice to just kind of be. I mean, like making music, like right now, especially like even with our stuff, like there's so many songs that are like kind of just ours for right now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. Like once the songs are out, it's like they're out, you know, and like people can have access to them. But for right now, we have like a bunch of songs that we're really excited about that only we can listen to, which is kind of fun. It's like you're making music just for you until it's out. You know what I mean?
I like to think that's like your relationship with like the music you write though. Like every time I've ever like put out music, whether it be like myself or like with my band, it felt like I held on to it for a while and I would like listen to it over and over and over again and be like really be married to like what I've written because I'm just like, damn, I can't believe I wrote this or like I'm a part of this. You know what I mean? Like I like it with my band because I only have like two jobs, which is to play guitar and sing, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But and releasing music is kind of like parting ways with that because like I don't really listen to my own music once I put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
It's like the relationship you have with it, like pre-putting it out.
It's playing it live.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Which is cool because that's different. That's a way of making it different. It's going to be different every time, whether that's the intention or not. But yeah, like I'm not like listening to Sirens. Like,
no, me neither. I think I've listened to it like once or twice since it's been out. But
just get those numbers.
Yeah, I just think by the time it comes out, you're kind of like, you're kind of on to the next thing. You're just kind of like thinking about what's next. And yeah, just not really focused on the stuff you've already done.
How are you guys' schedules like in terms of like, you know, everyone has a job and then like you make the time to write music. Like, what's that like for you guys?
Better now.
Better now. It's a little tough like rehearsal wise because there's five of us. So it's like a lot of schedules that you kind of need to line up.
Yeah.
We've kind of got it down now, I think, to a pretty good spot.
Yeah. We just have a rehearsal space. So it's like, nice. Like there's multiple bands that have it. So we've all just agreed to like Tuesday nights.
Oh, nice. So I've definitely been in those.
Yeah. That's like, I remember at Bedrock. I ran into you guys all.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was cool.
We had a pool situation there. Mm-hmm. That was cool. I was only paying like $90.
What are your guys' rehearsals like for Cuco?
Now they're no, they're crazy now. Like because everything just kind of keeps getting bigger, so does like the performance aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like for the tour we just did, we were rehearsing. Well, we toured a 2-hour set, essentially. Man, like nonstop. An hour and a half. But like it's kind of like if you take up like the preparation, like 30-minute preparation, like that you get to kind of like mentally prepare for it.
Uh-huh. No, you got to lock in.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's like 2 hours of just kind of like locking in, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's cool because we work with the music director that his label hired called Space Bar.
Yeah.
There's a man named John as well as Ryan that basically essentially take all the music and then kind of like weave it together.
Yeah.
Like weave it together like a performance. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like live producing a show.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So wait, who's the MD?
His name is John.
John.
Yeah. So John basically just kind of like looks at Omar's discography that he wants to perform and picks like all the songs that are in key with each other. And it's just like, okay, cool. Like we can blend them.
Oh, and they're figuring out the set list.
Yeah.
Oh.
Figuring a set list.
So, is the company called Space Bar?
Yeah.
It's like an MD company.
Yeah. Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like a very accessible company too.
Oh,
like,
really?
I think like, yeah. Like
anyone could just
like
hire
anyone
someone?
Can do it. Yeah. Anyone How can just hire anybody. And, there's a lot of just like freelance MDs floating around too, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's definitely worth it, like when you find yourself in a position that you're gonna have to give a like really big performance. Like for instance, my homie Estrada, we opened up for Ethel Kane at the Fonda. Are you guys familiar with their music?
No, I'm not.
No?
I
never heard it myself, but I mean
sure.
Surprisingly big artist because even my girl and my roommates knew who they were. So I was like, I'm playing for like opening.
What is it?
Estrada. Yeah. So basically, like you know, and he's been kind of like getting his numbers up too. Like he's been kind of like getting big and like really working himself up there. And so for this show, like he got booked at the Fonda. So he just acquired a manager, and his manager had like maybe his manager or like him. They both together basically like looked into getting a music director.
Yeah.
And basically what they do is just come and like put a show together. Like they take the songs, they see the songs, they're like, okay, how can I like make a show?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so they're taking like the keys of like all the songs and the energy.
Yeah, the energy, like, the dynamics, like the storytelling.
Yeah.
Like just kind of like put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
And then just like give the audience like a captivating performance.
So that's interesting.
It's very theatrical. Like very theatrical.
And then you think it kind of like takes weight off of your guys' shoulders, like not have to think about that stuff. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a guy who has like a really good like ear and like judgment and I would say kind of like sense of arrangement more than anything.
Cool.
Like honestly, like and it's opened my eyes to like the logic and the science behind arrangement like so much, dude.
Yeah.
Like now when I think of like anything like producing music, like DJing or like playing with my band or playing with Omar, like dynamics and arrangement, man, it's like everyone just kind of like has like their forte like when it comes to stuff. You know what I mean? And it's inside and outside the realm of music where it's like the performing and then kind of like the science behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you guys are producing, like who would you say is kind of like driving the plane, like who's like producing, like who's like on the computer?
We have like Edwin Warm Bedrooms is like kind of our guy for that. He's kind of like the outside ear that can kind of be like listen to like what we have and be like, okay, well, like what about like this?
Yeah, and, I mean, we're like, all it's weird, like we like Edwin is definitely like producer, like main producer, Warren Bedrooms.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Please.
We'll cut this out. But it's kind of, it's nice to just have, like, we're all producers in a sense.
Yeah,
I feel.
We all kind of have our input on stuff. Yeah. And I think it's all pretty like we end up kind of using everyone's kind of input to a certain degree.
But it's nice to have Edwin as at like the helm of that, because he's the only one that's like not playing, you know? So it's like, we're all, unless maybe it's like our song that we brought to the table, thinking about our own parts or whatever, or thinking about like, you know, lyrics or what have you. And then we have someone that's like looking at the whole picture, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool, you know, but we all have like our input. I think we're all pretty vocal, like, especially like you, me and Jason are all like pretty vocal during like recording.
Yeah. But it is nice. I mean, like you talk about like a music director, it's nice to have somebody who isn't like attached to the project or like not attached, but because like just from like an outside perspective to like, it's like, who knows what somebody else will hear, you know, that you're not even thinking about.
Yeah, dude.
And you know.
I think that's a big factor, which is that they're like, they're very unattached to it. So they can have this kind of like, like harsh or even like rewarding opinion, like with the sort of a fallback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they do this for other people too. And like, like that company.
It's like harsh professionalism.
Yeah. It's being that like a company like Spacebar, like these people have multiple projects at the same time. Like they're not focusing or getting kind of like invested like emotionally with the level. It's just like, they're just like providing this service.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
that's interesting.
And then they just kind of like watch the show and see how it unfolds. Like they music direct for like TV TV performances as well as show performances. Like they designed the whole thing. Like if you've ever watched a show that really had like just everything was perfect, like, there's an MD behind that.
For sure. Yeah.
So for like rehearsals and stuff like that, how often were they present?
All the time. They're there like every step of the way, like every part, like calling out dynamics, calling out parts, calling out like how things could be
played. As you guys are preparing for the show, they're there all the time. I have two questions.
Yeah.
Did that affect if it was organic or not, or like fun for you? And did you guys play the same show all tour?
We play the same show all tour, and it definitely has an effect because you got to be patient.
Does it feel sterile?
It feels like, it kind of feels like, you know how like when you're like just in it with your band, you're in it with your boys, and like you kind of just have like an opinion about like how someone in the group is playing, or like how they could be playing it to kind of like, everyone is always going to have like a sense of best interest for each other and for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that kind of like pressure where like, you know, you want to tell your boy, like, can you play it like this? You know what I mean? Or like, can you try playing like this?
Yeah.
Or like, can you follow what I'm doing? Or can you like, can you find something that's more on key with what I'm doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like the music director always already sees and knows that. So he's going to be the one to say it like, you need to stick with what they're doing. Like, basically, is that person saying...
It's that voice.
That's not afraid
of hurting your relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. It really isn't. And it doesn't. It really doesn't. Like,
well, you're not saying it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not the one saying it.
It's like, damn, that's crazy.
I feel like I've definitely struggled with that with my band because I have, like, I'm very passionate. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I have, like... Yeah. Like assertive like opinions like that I like impose like on my bandmates, and in the moments of like sharing like what I feel, I also kind of like feel some sort of just like insecurity, like in whether or not like how they're
hurting
like
their feelings.
Like, and I hope I'm not, but like I know we're all like grown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think in the end, if we all just kind of like look out for each other in trusting that like what anyone's opinion has is what's in the best interest for
the
sound of the music, then like this can come together. You know?
Right.
So like today I was telling my uncle who drums, I was just like, he was making the kick drum very busy. I was just like less busy. I was like, make it less busy. Like let's lock in a groove together.
Yeah.
like, you know what I mean? But but I have to tell him that, like, I don't really insinuate any idea without like a trial. You know what I mean? I kind of make everything seem like a trial. I'm like, can we try this? Like this? And after we try, I ask everybody, like, okay, like, you know.
That's kind of like
therapy, just like, how does everyone feel?
That's kind of like the out, I think, you can, because there's obviously like right and wrong ways to suggest somebody to play something differently, you know? Yeah. And so I think that, like, yeah, like saying something like that, being like, you know, I might not even be right about this, but why don't we just try it like this? Because this is kind of like what I'm hearing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, no, you know, you got to play like this.
And even for me, like, I don't close myself off to like any of that myself.
Yeah.
Like working with the music director and working with like other people, like getting hired for other projects has opened my heart like to taking direction.
Yeah.
I think like not being afraid to take direction, it could help open your mind to how like just like an outside perspective, like,
right?
Give you a better sense of an outside perspective on
for
things,
sure.
It can be hard. It's really hard.
It can be hard. It's kind of a skill to be able to take direction. It's like it's
and to give it.
Yeah.
Without, you know, seeming like
harsh.
Yeah, exactly. Without seeming like a dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be hard, especially if it's like a song. Like if you're taking direction, like we're all bringing in songs. All the time, so it's it can be difficult to hear criticism or direction. I'm okay for right now, thanks. Of something that you've really only have seen one way, especially when it's something that kind of came all from you all at once. Everything,
yeah,
everywhere all at once.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, man, music is fucking tight.
Yeah, it's
dope. Music is dope. That's the magic of it. You know,
yeah, music is super dope.
So how many dates did you guys do?
I think there were 13 shows.
Okay.
It was moderate. It's a pretty moderate, like a good dipping your feet in the water kind of tour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And did you have more?
No.
I always like to ask this question, but like the cities that you've been to, do you have like a city that you would like to live in or like that was your favorite city?
Through touring, it'd definitely be Mexico City.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's where we're about to go next
week.
Show
a big for Omar. Probably.
Huh?
They show up big for Cuco. Huh?
Yeah. That's like the majority of his fan base is Latin America.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
It makes sense for sure.
A lot of the songs are in Spanish anyways.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was.
Yeah. No, but if it had to be in the States, it'd be like...
LA?
The fan base is like in a lot of it is in Texas.
Texas? I was going to say, yeah.
But what about like the cities that you like? Let's say the States. You know, we like locked down Mexico City.
Okay. So the States... Probably like New York or Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like in terms of like living, like, oh, would I live there? Like definitely Chicago too. Like Chicago's a big vibe.
Chicago's a place that's like supposed to be really nice, but I just like never on my radar of like places to go.
Really?
I don't know why.
I've heard that it's really nice. Yeah, Hannah just went to Chicago and was like, loved it.
Yeah.
There's a nice balance of like that like metropolitan feeling.
Yeah.
Along with just kind of like, there's also kind of like a real sense of like rich history there.
Yeah.
Right.
So you kind of like feel that in the air as an outsider.
Is it as windy as they say it is?
Bro, it is so cold, bro. Bro, like -6, bro.
Yeah, see, that doesn't make me want to go.
Bro, you walk outside, your face hurts, bro. On job, bro. On everything.
It's like, who thought to build a city in a place like
that? BD.
Dude, I'm going to tell this story. I've been telling everyone.
Oh, right.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I just visited my brother in Washington State. Him and his wife moved up there in August. And so my girlfriend and I just went up there to see him for the first time. We went on this hike. It was like 37 degrees up.
Oh, my God.
We're like 15% through the hike, and he's like, on the way back, we're gonna jump in that river. And I was like, okay. And we did the hike. We saw this like fucking waterfall. I'm all excited because I haven't been in nature in like fucking 6-7 months.
Yeah.
Take my shirt off and I stand in front of the waterfall, you know, just very beautiful.
Nice.
And then we're like walking back down. I'm like, he's capping, bro. He's not going to get in that fucking river. Because I kind of don't want to get in the river.
He was saying that about
Wait,
you.
How many degrees was it?
No, did you I internally am like, he's fucking...
Did you say, what time of the year is this?
This was like last week. This was this weekend.
This was this weekend?
Yeah, okay. In Washington State. So I think it's like 37, like 47 degrees outside. Right. It's a cold fucking hike and it's raining.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And then we get to this like little thing. He's like, cool, it's just down here. And I'm like... All right. And we start walking down. It's like, we can't see the trail. This motherfucker starts taking off his clothes, bro. He strips down to his skivvies. This motherfucker dunks himself into the river twice, like full. And then I'm like, well, I
gotta do it.
I gotta do it. And so I fucking jump in that river. It must have been like, I don't know.
Cold as fuck.
Yeah, like.
It must have just been.
No more than 7 to 10 degrees.
Holy sh!
Yeah.
Was that, would you say, the coldest water you've ever been in? Coldest thing?
Without a doubt. It was so cold that when I got out and I was climbing up, like, back onto, like, the, like, side of the river, my head was pounding. Because I had brain freeze, but from outside of me.
Oh, yeah.
It fucking
God,
hurt. Bro. It was crazy. I have a video I'll show you.
I would have been like terrified of catching like pneumonia or some shit.
Yeah, dude. I know.
Hypothermia. I think you're all right. If you're just dunking it.
I felt warm when I got out.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's so much warmer outside compared to, but of course.
Nah, but you're living, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Talk about the living experience.
That's what I was thinking, bro. I'm like, I've been stuck fucking like the past year, like just same old bullshit every fucking day. And here's like a new experience in front of me. I'm like, dude, life's short, bro.
You gotta take
it.
Jump in that river. You know what I mean?
Go.
Jump in that river.
Just cut to like,
I'm
like an ambulance. Like, he's not gonna make it.
New guy's in the corner puking his guts out. Who's this gonna be?
Like jump
Frost?
I don't know. I don't know if you've ever experienced or if you have like any interest in doing this, but I've seen a lot of people start to do it. Is like ice baths or like ice dunks.
I would be down.
They're supposed to be really good for you. And like what I started doing, and it's interesting you say that, like when you got out of the water, it was warm. Because like when I like think to do it, I'll do it in the shower. Like I'll take a warm shower and then like the last 30 seconds of the shower, you turn the water all the way cold. And it's fucking really cold. But when you get
good for your skin,
you're like,
it's good.
Like,
you gotta breathe. Feels good. Yeah.
but you just got it like when you step out of it, you know, when you usually step out of the shower and you're like cold, you're like going for the towel. Like, but this, you step out and you're like, oh, this is fine. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. It's
no, during this past summer, it definitely took like 4 cold showers in the day, bro.
Really? Yeah.
Like,
it, fucking gnarly, dude.
It's supposed to be good for your immune system.
It is. Yeah.
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 I feel like my relationship with cold has changed though, because I'm usually kind of like a pussy about like the cold and like the weather and stuff like that. Especially this is like pretty unprecedented.
This is pretty
for us, like this early in November. It's kind of
pretty cold. I like it though.
Yeah. Like,
do you still travel to Europe?
I did in like 2017.
Did you go to like Ireland or like UK or something like that?
Yeah, me and my family went. Thank you. Yeah. Me and my family went to Ireland and Scotland in 2017. Did a little backpacking trip. We stayed in hostels and stuff like
that. How was that?
It was sick, bro.
I remember seeing that going on your
socials. That was fucking tight. That was my first time ever out of the country.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a really beautiful experience. Yeah, we took a plane. We just had like our backpacks. My family's like, we love to camp and do stuff like that. So we all have like backpackers backpacks. So we packed those up with like all of our essentials. And we did like 2 weeks in like Ireland and Scotland. And then in Scotland, my older brother and his, I think then just girlfriend met up with us. And we got to like tool around and visit a bunch of castles and shit. It was fucking like top. Like one of my like favorite experiences.
Yeah, I've only ever known like two people that like taken like genuine trips to Ireland, and one of them was just like this kid I knew in high school. He like moved there eventually, like after high school.
He moved to Ireland.
Yeah, I was just like, that's crazy. Like,
yeah, it's just like,
and I just remember him like posting like, you know, him out there like drinking. Like it looks crazy because like what he was like. His documentation and like photos and all that were just kind of like almost like exactly how I pictured like Ireland would look like. It's just kind of like these brick roads.
Yeah.
Like the kind of like Hogwarts
it's
looking.
Old.
Like it's old.
It's rural. Like it's just like, everything's
like
old.
Pubs everywhere. Like,
it's funny. I just saw that movie, Banshees of Inisherin, and that's like 1920s Ireland. And you like look like they're off this like island off the coast of the mainland, and it's like the setting is like time accurate, but it looks like everything's like you would guess like like 1800s or like 1700s because they live in these like cottages, like,
yeah,
like hay tops and stuff. But it's like 1920s, yeah, you know, like America, like Industrial Revolution America, like, has like everyone's got like apartments and shit. Like
right,
that.
Right.
New York
right.
is like bussing and like all this other shit. But like back then, like they've been like slow behind the times.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
Like an impoverished country for a long, long time.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. Not, yeah. I don't know if it's impoverished now. It's definitely not. But, you know, that rustic nature of the country has remained for
sure. Yeah. Is it like preserved even?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, there's like we visited family that like they have a cow farm up there in County Mayo. And yeah, bro. I mean, it's like pretty, like it's all just, it's a farm, like there's a bunch of farmland and
what's like, the food like? What's like the, I mean, like, you know, customary food?
It's boiled.
Is it kind of like that of like United Kingdom?
Yeah, it's like a lot of like potatoes.
Baked beans.
Yeah, hell yeah, dog.
You know who's from Ireland, bro? Ooh.
Ed Sheeran
and My Bloody Valentine.
Are they?
Oh, really?
Yeah, bro.
I would have never guessed.
I have to listen to
an Irish band, bro.
The only Irish band I know is
crazy.
Flogging Molly. Well, yeah, that's a great song.
You said U2?
Yeah, U2.
Bro,
yeah.
You remember when they forced their album yes, on everyone's
dude.
Phone?
Don't remind us.
Bro, one of my homegirls just like messaged me like a while ago, like saying that Bono just apologized
for
that.
I saw that.
You saw
did?
That? Yes. He apologized for that.
I think he
was. And her quote was like, he's forgiven.
That's nice. Yeah. I think they thought like, because every, like, you would have had to buy it if you wanted to hear it. And they're like, fuck it, for free. But what they.
Hello.
I guess for like. Oh, God.
Was that on that album?
Hello. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
That's
a great
song.
I like you too.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
That from a music industry perspective, I can kind of see how they're like trying to like do something unique and like new.
Bro,
their
music was groundbreaking, regardless.
But the music, I don't think was there, was it? Well, the original music was.
Yeah, the original
music.
Yeah, U2
in general, yeah, was groundbreaking. But this album.
Joshua Tree, bro.
I like
U2. And I was hyped when that happened because my dad fucking loves U2 because they're an Irish band and all that stuff. So when that happened, I was like, dope, free. I like to listen to that record all the time.
Did you, I think, like a couple years ago, he did Joshua Tree in Joshua Tree.
That was
a whole ass show that he did. I think my mom went to that.
What's
she
that place?
Went
to
yeah,
what's that place called? Is it Harry and Papiots or Pappy and Harry's?
Yeah, that's down by. It is down by J Tree, but it's not.
Close.
It's not.
It's
yeah.
Not
it's
like
close.
Actually there.
Yeah. I had tickets to see Charles Bradley or Charles
for real. Yeah, and extraordinaire.
Yeah, they were fucking awesome and. He was playing what's Ace Theater?
Ace Hotel.
The night prior to when I had tickets, and then I realized that the tickets were actually for Pappy and Harriet's the following day, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm going." And
nice.
We went. It was that's a dope ass venue, and I'm glad I fucking went because he died shortly after.
Yeah, I saw him right before he died.
I saw him
really
at
good.
FYF.
That's. Wait, FYF? Oh,
that's
I saw
the old
Coachella.
Highland Park.
Oh, wait, shit. Yeah. I did
the,
see him
the
at
old
FYF.
Chinatown
the old festival. Yeah,
yeah
not
yeah.
Highland Park. I'm sorry.
That was a good festival.
Yeah, yeah. It was like by Chinatown, right?
Yeah.
Rest in peace to that festival.
Yeah, I saw it. That was the same. That was the same festival I saw My Bloody Valentine.
Was that 2013? No, that was 2012.
Like, no. It had to be like
later.
I graduated in 2014. That had to been like 2016, maybe, or 2015.
That was a good festival.
Dude. Deer Hunter. Damn.
Dude, yeah, there was some good fest. Like, they didn't do Echo Park Rising anymore. They don't do.
They do. Yeah, they do. They just had one. They had one this year.
It was Echo Farce Rising.
Echo Farce Rising?
Yeah, we played it, but it was not an official Echo Park Rising thing. They didn't do an Echo Park Rising.
No, not this year.
For real?
Not since 2019, I don't think.
They haven't done it in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll get rectified.
You know who's got to do that is Julian Luis.
That's what I was saying.
They got to be the procreators of that.
Yeah. They're going to fucking hopefully.
Who's that?
Julian and Luis are some promoter friends of ours, and they also are. Do you know Dirty Penny Fest? Or Pennyback Records or anything like that?
Pennyback. That's
yeah, they're yeah. They're the that's their brainchild.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some days. Something
they,
will come back.
They were on episode 10 of this podcast, which is honestly a really fucking hilarious episode.
So, yeah. But yeah, I think LA needs something like needs a festival besides Coachella.
No, nah, that's not even LA. That's a worldwide. That's a worldwide festival.
LA has definitely festivals like Tropicalia and
Was there a Tropicalia since COVID?
No.
Oh, it got. Oh wait.
Telling you,
since, no, there wasn't.
Since 2019, LA has not had a festival.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, did that shit get canceled?
No, no, it didn't.
What was Viva Pomona? It was supposed to be at fucking Dodger Stadium.
No, yeah. So what ended up happening was like
that was a great lineup.
That was a fantastic lineup. And
I was gonna drop bucks on that.
Yeah,
dog.
Bro. No, the guy ended up telling me like a tragic story a while that.
Are we allowed to talk about it or probably not? If you have to,
it's so far away. I feel like it's it already happened, but basically, like Daddy Yankee pulled out.
Oh shit!
And so, like, just like the weight of that was just not.
You gotta
enough.
Have gasolina,
like, yeah, bro.
Bro.
Like, I guess like off that, like you can kind of like assume like people would like sell their tickets or like they would just like not go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you and you can't get someone like of that kind of like. That status
caliber,
like,
yeah.
That caliber, like to replace him.
Well, like, it was like
and,
still
and who
far
would you find?
Out.
It wasn't far enough. Like, who are you gonna find in a couple weeks?
Who'd they have? Did they have Kelly Uchis?
Yeah, they had all.
They had Omar Apollo.
No,
like,
they had all of them.
Like, Daddy Yankee,
but dude. Daddy Yankee, dude. That, the whole world, dude. Ended it? The whole festival would have gone to see that. Like, anyone playing at the same time as Daddy Yankee, like, I feel sorry for you.
Damn.
Like, you're not gonna have a crowd, bro. Like, you're going to go watch Daddy Yankee whether you know one song, no songs, or every song.
Against that.
Coachella still sells out when Frank Ocean drops, though. I mean, you know, I guess it's different. I guess that's like, you know, maybe
it's more like
it's like a false equivalency.
But I mean, Daddy Yankee ended up doing like an LA show anyway. So, I mean, like,
that maybe that's why.
We ended up doing an LA show. We did the shrine. Yeah, we did the shrine to make them for that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you guys probably made more money at the shrine than you did. You would have been done doing a festival.
Yeah, probably. Because festivals, I think, like, I don't know.
Festivals are great to play because you gain a lot of
it's more
of the
play for exposure.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you're still making your bag.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. There's like a small bag to it.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I just got put on for Viva Pomona for this year.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I saw that. Congratulations.
Shit. Yeah, congrats. Venus High. That's right. That's right. When is that? I just saw that.
December 17th.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, dude. For sure.
So, we're
nice.
Getting, so I just came back from
what
rehearsal.
Day are you playing?
The first day.
First day. Yeah. Is that a Saturday?
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday?
Yeah.
At night, right?
Maybe. I don't know what the set time or like the stage is going to be, but I'm just getting a hell of a set ready.
Hell yeah.
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 That's all I know. I'm just getting a hell of a set ready. Yeah. I'm just going to like go up there and do it.
Well, it'll all be on your guys' socials.
But the second day, dude, the second day is crazy because they got... Wait, is it the first day? No, the second day is sick as fuck, dude. Because they got, you ever heard of Julie?
Mm-mm.
Dude, Julie is up and coming right now. Like, they just did a freaking UK tour. Like, they're young as fuck.
Really? Oh, really?
I think they're like in their early 20s or some shit.
That's damn. Tight.
But, like, they're like a shoegaze, like garage rock
nice.
Band that are just like up and coming right now. They're from LA. They got this band from Mexico called Margaritas Podrinas.
Mm. Huh.
They're sick as hell, dude.
Nice.
Like,
yeah.
Like the best way I could describe it is like Mexican grunge.
That sick. Sounds fun
so
as
fire,
yeah, I would love to go to that.
So yeah, I'm down. Fire, I'm down.
Bro, it's only like $50 for
Do you know
days.
When it like starts?
It's already on sale.
No, sorry. Do you know when the like your night starts?
The day, I think it starts like around like... Maybe like one or two.
Oh fuck! Okay, cool.
Yeah, but
cool.
2 day pass is only like $50.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good for all those
cheap. That's
yeah.
a very affordable.
Yeah,
because
I was thinking I get off of work at like 5, but honestly, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah,
I might have to go to that.
Yeah, for $50, like that's a really good deal. I feel like the year like before was like more expensive.
Was it?
Yeah.
Previous years.
Yeah. The last time I went was Innerwave played.
I was gonna say I think that was the last time I went.
Yeah.
I don't know if Miguel played. I don't know. I don't remember.
Thanks. I don't remember.
Dude, but no.
Oh,
that,
he did. Cause
that festival honestly has its roots because I remember when I was a teenager and seeing Viva Pomona flyers.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw they had this band Dabble that was like super sick band like way back in when I was a teenager. He's still making music now. He just came out with like a new record.
Nice.
But they had this Mexican band called Porter.
Yeah.
And Porter is like one of those, like, if you know like rock and spagnol music, like it's very big. You know what I mean? But this is one of those bands that are just like, I knew them since like I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
And like I'm seeing them on a flyer like in LA, like as a teenager.
You're like, oh,
it's
fuck.
Like Viva Pomona. I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then now, like fast forward, like 26 years old, like seeing those lineups and then like now playing, I'm just like, damn. Like, I think like the historical embedment is like still there, which is why like playing that festival could, it's a very big opportunity for anyone to get. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's like definitely would be amazing to like get on.
Yeah, dude. Like, I mean, if you've ever met the guy Renee, like he's a sweet dude. Man.
Yeah,
like you can talk to him easily, bro.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
Get him familiar with like whatever like what you're doing, and just like talk to him, and it's just like as easy as that. Like, just when you make like just like genuine encounters and like friendships like with people like off the internet, you just kind of like. It's on the street type
real
shit,
life,
like
real life.
It ends up going such a long way, man.
Yeah, because
this dude is always looking for up and coming bands.
I was excited by that lineup for Viva this year because I didn't recognize a lot of the names. I was like, you know what? It's like it's going to be a really good opportunity to hear some new music,
dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can trust that a lot of bands on that lineup are like very up and coming.
Yeah,
like these are like. Like people like all our age just kind of like making good shit that is just not like on like a worldwide scale, but it's just like at that. It's like, you know, when you find like your new favorite band and like no one else knows about it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
that's,
like,
that's
there's
hype.
A bunch of those on that lineup, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Parque de Cometas from Tijuana. Like
it's gonna be gas.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be so good, man.
I love. Like, is it Glasshouse again, right?
Yeah, dude, it's a lot of. There's a lot of Mexican bands in there too, man. Like nice. That's Mexico has like such an untapped freaking like
market
taste.
Of,
dude, like that. Like the states don't know about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they know everything, bro. Yeah. They know everything. Like we're doing. You know
It is crazy. Like it's funny. Suelsa has played nowhere near Mexico City, but we have like. A few monthly, like I look at Spotify and we have like a pretty steady like 11 or 12 people. I'm like, how the fuck?
From Mexico, bro.
Yeah.
They love shit out there, bro.
I would love to become more familiar with like bands from Mexico.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like my goal, maybe we can make it a goal together.
Yeah.
Like, let's try to play Tijuana, bro.
Dude, let's do it. I'd be so down.
Dude, we should play Tijuana
fucking who's
together.
Who's been the talk? Julian has been talking about let's throwing a show in TJ.
Dude, let's something that happen. Let's
I'm
that.
Down.
Yeah,
let's
we can
do
a spot called
Venus Hides, bro.
The mustache bar.
that's what it's called.
Yeah, it's right and it's right off like the strip. Like there's a strip in Tijuana where it's just like all the bars and shit.
Yeah.
Like there's this spot called the mustache bar, and it's right down the street from this like insane marisco spot if you like seafood.
Fucking
they have
seafood.
A red snapper ceviche.
Mm. Damn.
It's fucking good as fuck, dude.
The battery's probably over. We should probably wrap.
We're at an hour and change.
Yeah.
So it's not dead though, right?
Doesn't look dead. You can start it or we can just wrap it up.
Well, let's just do it so that we can end the video without having to, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I think all in all, man, like, I would love to play a show with you guys. Like, let's get something set up.
We should.
Up,
yeah, we're trying to book stuff as much as possible.
Dude, like, I literally want to play any
We
want
to play some out-of-town shows, too. So if you're down to, like, travel a little
dude,
bit.
Dude, yeah. Dude, like,
OC.
Man, I've been trying to, like, get like a West Coast run with like somebody, dude.
Yeah.
Like San Diego, LA, Bay Area.
Yeah.
Just three dates.
Yeah.
Just
find
somewhere to play. Like, even if there's gonna be nobody in San Diego or San Francisco, like,
I think it's just like if you just like find some good like local support, like some kind of band that's like big down there,
that'll help a lot. Maybe that's something we can look into too. Like, the two of us grab someone who has like, who's probably even bigger than us and just get them to fucking headline and get us to open up.
We'll open.
Like,
I'm down. Bro. We just want to play.
I just want to play, bro. That's literally like my mentality.
For
too.
Real.
I just want to play, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
We got two new songs that we're recording. One is called Strawberry Glow. The other one is called Soar. I'm very excited to play that. We got Viva Pomona on December 17th.
Nice.
Day one.
What's the at? What's the Instagram?
Venus Hides. Just Venus. Venus Hides. Venus Shides. Venus Shides. Whatever, bro.
V-E-N-U-S-H-I-D-E-S.
It's in the game.
It's in the game.
Go Kill listen. Apocalypse. Go listen to See You in Bloom on Spotify.
Yep.
Yes. I also am DJing tomorrow night at the Melody Lounge. You guys should pull up.
Damn, free. I'll be out of town, and this probably won't be out until. But fuck, that sounds lit.
But yeah, but that's just my extended invitation to you guys. Every second Friday of every month, I throw a party at the Melody Lounge.
Oh, I'll for sure come. I'll pull through a lot of those.
Free, cute drinks, cute place. Let's get it.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me, dude. Man. I'm really happy to see you.
Yeah, it was really nice to see you.
We're gonna have more drinks after this, I'm sure.
Definitely. Let's do it. We're playing a show on December 9th, Silver Lake Lounge.
Yeah.
Come through.
See you there. It's gonna be great, honestly.
It's gonna be great. Good bands.
Eat shit.
That's all she wrote.